It's Ezekiel 22:30. Father's Day 2014. I'm going to challenge the men today for the Word of God. Dale, it's so exciting that you could be here. God bless you, buddy. I didn't see you till Di, because you always sit up here in the front with Di. But you're probably in a wheelchair, aren't you? Yeah. I'm glad you're here. God bless you. Get this place. We're gonna get back to normal now. Dell's here. Amen. All right. I was telling Johnny, you know, we got three men that are members of our church out preaching today. And David's and Pastor Dave's four over there in Super Church preaching. Pastor Myers is in his son's church. Pastor Dave's over in Super Church. Brother Rob Black, what church you say he was in, Johnny, your daddy? Brewster Baptist. And then Don, Brother Don just joined our church. He's preaching over in Indiana. So four men, I was telling John, what an outreach for Bethel. Amen? In about a week or so, Brother Billy will be working down in Lima in a tent revival. And so we're busy. And just exciting to see guys doing the work of God. A few weeks back, Bobby was preaching over in Troy Baptist. And so I'm glad to see our preachers preaching. Amen. And I want to thank these men and their wives for working in the field for God here. We appreciate you. Ezekiel 22:30. Let's stand. One verse. Glad you're here. Lonnie, you have such a tremendous voice. I love it when you and Tammy sing together. Or even when you sing, your voice is phenomenal. We need to have you sing all the time. And people got gifts. Use them for the Lord. Amen. Notice Ezekiel 22:30. Today's Father's Day. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God looking for a man. You men today here on Father's Day, I want to tell you right now, I'm going to try to challenge you and exhort you from the Word of God this morning to be a man for God. Be a man for God in your life, and do what God would be proud of and what God would have you to do. God's looking for a man today. Heavenly Father, help me now as I preach this message. This is what you put in my heart, and I really want to be a blessing, Father. Please bless these men. Encourage their life to serve you, stand for you, walk with you. Help them to be a blessing to their families. And, Lord, most important, be a blessing to their wife, who you gave them from heaven. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll bless everyone here today. And may the Word of God go out and encourage each one's life, we ask. Be with those that are away from us. Be with those preachers that are preaching right now in different areas. I pray you'll be with them. We ask your blessings in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May you be seated. I truly believe on June 5th, 2014, that God Almighty is looking for a man. I believe that. God's looking for a man to stand the gap for him today. And boy, fellas, if there ever was a day that God needed men to stand the gap, today's the day. America's in trouble. America's in trouble. America needs some men of God to stand up. The homes in America are in trouble. God needs some men to stand up and be godly leaders. Listen, today God's looking for a man to stand the gap for him as a godly Christians. We need some men that are godly Christians. I mean, men that walk with God. men that people see Christ personified in their life. Let me ask you a question. Men, do people see Christ in your life? I took a scripture, Acts 4, just stay where you're at, but Acts 4, 13. They noticed that men had walked with Christ because Peter and John, and they took knowledge, Acts 4, 13. They took knowledge of Peter and John that they had been with Jesus. People could tell the way Peter and John lived and walked and talked that they had been with Christ. We need some men like that today. We need some men, I don't care if you're married or not, we need some men today to walk with God so when people see him, they can see the hand of God and the presence of God in their life. We need some men that know God and walk with God today. Men, do people see this about our lives? The way they said that about Peter and John, do they say that about you? Do they say that about me? Because they could tell that we had been with Christ. Men, what lifestyle do we live and portray today? I wonder what the average Christian's life personifies today. What do people think of you? If I was to go ask your neighbor today, what can you tell me about that guy? If I would go to where you work and say, what can you tell me about that guy that works next to you? Does he ever talk about Christ? Does he ever promote the things of God? Or what's his speech like? Does he cuss? Does he tell bad jokes? Does he walk with God? Does he witness to people? Do you ever see him pray? You know, we need to start seeing that again. We've lost that. On June 15, 2014, God's looking for a man who will be a spiritual leader of his home. God's looking for a man that will lead and guide his family in the ways of God. If I would think there's one thing lacking in the Christian home today, it would be men not leading their homes like they should. I believe many times the lady is more spirit-filled than the man. But believe me, and I'm not taking nothing away from the ladies, and thank God for all the ladies. We need you. God's placed the man in the head and the leadership of the home. And we need men to be spiritual leaders in the home that would take the lead. We need men that would be like some like Joshua, who will take the stand for God and lead his family in the ways of God Almighty. On June 15, 2014, we need some men who will sell out for God and be separate for God. I need some men that say, I'm going to sell out for God. We have half-hearted, half-committed, half-separated, half-wishy-washy men leading their homes today. That we have half-hearted, that's why we have half-hearted people in the churches. Jesse, you know the greatest thing you can do for your son? Let him see a sold-out daddy for Christ. That's what the greatest thing that little boy can see from you is Christ within you. By the way, not just Brother Jesse, all you men. The greatest thing my son can see in me and my grandkids and my children, my daughter, is that Christ's living and working through my life. And I pray and hope that they see it. Because that's what's wrong with the world today. We don't have many great godly men anymore. We've lost the great godly men, and we need some godly men again to rise up. One of them should be you that's underneath my voice today. We've had enough wishy-washy men leading their homes to, take a stand. Billy, too many men ride the straddle of the fence, half in, half out. Why don't some of you men that's been riding the middle of the fence for years, why don't you get committed today and say, you know what? That preacher's right. Christ is coming back. The world, oh my lands, I'm terrified for these young people today. You know anything can help these young people today? Is to put all the godliness in Christ in their lives, in their walk with God. You need to be a leader so they can see that and cling to those truths of the Word of God. Half-hearted. We need some men today to stop being half-hearted, wishy-washy. We need some Joshuas. We need some Joshuas to take a real... He said, as for me and my house, we're going to stand for... You know what? They didn't have to pray about going to the meetings. When men are real men for God, People know they're going to read their Bible. People know they're going to pray. People know they're not going to let things into their home that's not right. People, the kids know, we're going to church Sunday. We're going to church Sunday night. We're going to church Wednesday. Listen, when every time church doors, my dad's taking me. I know. Listen, Dave and Tammy Lynn, and I know I pastored, but there was years before I pastored. I didn't start pastoring until I was 31 years old, right in that area. And there for years, my kids, they didn't say, "Hey, Dad, are we going to church tonight?" They knew we were going to church. Hello? Somebody say, "Well, we'll wait and see. We'll make a decision." No, see, you ought to have the wisdom of God to say, "You know what? The best place I can take my kids tonight is church." So then, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can't outdo church. That's where your children need to be, to hear the word of God. I don't care if it's an old guy preaching or a young guy preaching. They need to hear the word, because God's word never goes out void. Amen? Men, God has made you the leader of your home. Be that spiritual leader for God that he intended you to be. Men, be that kind of husband to your wife. I wrote this down earlier. Proverbs 18:22 says this, Billy. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You guys, you're celebrating your fifth. He's celebrating your second. 25, I think he said. All you three guys are celebrating anniversaries this week. You found a good thing. When you wake up in the morning tomorrow, you ought to say, "Hey, Kim, you're a good thing from God." Bobby, you ought to say to Jamie, "Wow, you was a wild thing in the beginning, but now you're a good thing." Kidding, I'm having fun with you. Good thing. And Billy's saying, "Hello, good thing." Taylor's going to say, "What thing are you talking about? I'm not a thing." Listen to me. God said, for all you men that are married, whether you know it, you got a good thing. Brother Noah, you and I got a good thing going. Marriage is a blessing. Fellas, we are blessed to have our wives with us. Some of you guys say, "Well, preacher, she don't look like she used to when I married her." Hey, have you looked in the mirror lately? You still got the prize. Hello? I'm going to tell you something. You men need to tell your wives you love her. You need to tell her you appreciate her. I mean that. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how many years you've been married, don't take your wife for granted. How many are hearing the preacher today? Don't take your wife for granted. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you guys think you don't need your wife. Just let her be gone for a few days. Your life will be in shambles. How many are hearing me today? I'm not reading it off of paper. You know what I'm saying to you. I'm going to tell you, most men do not realize, does your wife have faults? Everybody has faults. They don't have as many faults as we do. Hello? They put up with us. They clean our dirty underwear and our socks. They put up with our bad breath in the morning. "Hi, hon. Give me a smooch." Clean the fog out. Go brush your teeth and put some scope down there, Listerine. Then come and say, "Hey, babe, how about a kiss?" Yeah, you can still kiss her even though you've been married to her for a while. Before you married her, you couldn't help. You always wanted to kiss her. You always wanted to hold her. You always wanted to hug her. You always say, "I love you, dummy dumb. Oh, I love you, sweetie sweet." Whatever happened to that little sweetie sweet lovey dove? It should be still be there. Billy, I don't know if you still got the lovey-dove in Sweetie Street, but you should. Jack, you should. Preacher should. Come here with me. I'm going to tell you right now. Doug and Angel, you've only been married a few years, but I'm going to tell you, don't ever lose that lovey-dove, Sweetie Sweet. You married an angel. I won't tell you what she married. She married a good kid. The reason our homes are being destroyed today, because we don't have our families right. And the reason our families aren't right are because the men. Brother Phil, it's so important that you be the right man for your wife and the right man for your household. Jack, if anything we need men, godly men, Christian men, spirit-filled men today. Jordan, you got a brand new baby. Boy, and Jack, wherever you are, Jack, you got a brand new baby. The greatest thing you can do for your baby is be the man of God for him. Read the Bible to him. Take him to church. Act biblical in front of him. Love his mama off the chart. Hello? It saddens me to see marriages go down because what happened? Oh, we've lost the love for each other. No. You left God. Because when you're plugged into the Lord, that love will be there. That thoughtfulness will be there. That kindness will be there. That forgiving spirit will be there. That critical eye will leave. How many are still with me? You know, it's quick for us to have a critical eye, but you know what? We ought to look in the mirror. We have a lot of problems ourselves. Men, God has made you the leader of your home. Be that spiritual leader for God. Be the right kind of husband to your wife. Be the right kind of father to your children. Lead by example. That's why, Brother Carl, we don't have no people leading by example anymore. Hard to find a real godly father. Read your Bible more than anybody in your house. Let your kids see you reading your Bible. Pray more than anybody in your house. Be faithful church service. Take your family to the church. Listen, don't have your mom take them. You take them to the church house. I love to see Jesse bring little Jesse, his daddy bring him to church. That's what you ought to do. Be the leader in what you watch and say. Man, I can't imagine what God thinks of our Christian lives. Some of the stuff that I don't want to go in and look at the homes. But would you, men, the things you watch at your home, would God be honored with that? I'll tell you one thing, your wife and children see what you're watching. Hello? Quiet here now, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the homes. We need some men of God that'll stand up for the things of God and the separation for God and the ways of God and say, I don't care what it is, I'm going to lead my family for Christ. Be a leader in what you watch and say. Be a leader in where you take them and what goes on in your family, what you do. Listen, the homes of families in America today are being destroyed and torn apart, and we need men to rise up. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not just talking about the regular families. I'm talking about the Christian families. You know why the churches are all torn up? The homes are torn up. You know why the homes are torn up? Because there's not a godliness in those homes. There's not a father presence that's leading. Men, God's given you an authority to lead that home, and he's given you a responsibility to lead that home. How you sizing up in that responsibility for your home? We need to stand for God. America will only go as far. Listen to me. America will only go as far as the foundation of their homes. Bobby, if we don't have foundation for our homes, we ain't got. America's going down. What's wrong with America? There's no foundation for homes. God's word cries out today. I'm looking for a man. God says from heaven, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap for me. I'm going to tell you right now, man, I don't care what age you are. God's looking for a man. 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 And you're that man he's looking for. God's looking for a man to stand the gap. America's crying out today. We need men to lead our country back to God. Men, the old paths of God are crying out to you today. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is a good way, and walk therein. Brother Billy, America just needs to get back where they once were. They need to go back to the old paths. Men of God, God wants you to seek the old paths. What does God want me to do? He wants you to seek the old paths for you and your family. What are the old paths? The paths that God wants you to take. For you to walk with him, to talk with him, and seek him, and let him guide you. Amen? God's looking for a man that will lead his family in the ways of the old paths. The question today, man, is, will you be that man? And in closing, I want you to take your Bible with me and turn to Genesis. I'm going to read a scripture. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm going to read about six scriptures there. Genesis chapter 2. And I'm going to leave you with a thought. Genesis 2, 18 through 25. I'm in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And I'm going to read the verse 25. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Hey, before you discard your wife, you better not discard her. God said, it's not good that you be alone. Well, I'd be better off without her. Yeah. No, you wouldn't. It's amazing. People get a divorce. I'm getting rid of that guy. I'm getting rid of that woman. What happens? It's a proven thing. They go and remarry again. Why don't you just stay with the original one that God gave you? Hello? It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmate. Ladies, you're not the lead. You're the help. Help him to be the leader. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was their name. Adam named all the animals. You're a turtle. You're a horse. You're a zebra. How many are with me? And Adam gave names to all the cattle, fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. You're a trout. You're a bluegill. Amen. You're a walleye. Get over there in Lake Erie. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. All the animals had mates but him. Can you imagine if there wasn't no women in this world? Be a pretty sad thing, wouldn't it? Adam saw all those animals with their mates, but for him there was none. I'm going to tell you right now, look up here, men. God saw Adam was incomplete. And he gave him a wife. Ladies, you are the completer of your husband. He needs you, even though he won't tell you. And even though sometimes he doesn't act like it, he needs you more than anything. And fellas, whether you admit it or not, without your wife, we're a basket case. Who's the one that finds your socks for you? Who finds your car keys for you? Hello? Rose, I can't find this. She says, right in front of you. I can't. I'm looking. It ain't there. Here it is. Who moved my shoes? You did. You took them off last night and left them downstairs. Oh, I forgot that. Hello? How many am I hitting home with? Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept and took one of the ribs. Hey, angel, here you go. The first anesthesist. He put him to sleep. Amen? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. But now it's Sunday football does that. Or Cleveland. Now we just go to those big chairs, And we're watching intensely, all of a sudden. You can't believe how many games I've watched the Cleveland Indians right when they, I'll start in the first inning. I couldn't tell you what goes on the fifth, third, second. But I wake up near the ninth and boy, hey, was that a great game or not? God has caused a deep sleep to fall upon it. Ladies, we can't help it. We have that sleep apnea. He slept and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And she's been in the pain of sight ever since. No, kidding! 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 That's what some of you guys think. That's the best thing you ever had in your life. They don't make ribs like that no more. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, cleave unto your wife. You know who my best friend is outside of Jesus? Rosie. Fellas, your best friend outside of your Savior is your wife. Because when everybody turns their back on you and everybody forsakes you, there'll be someone there by you. And that's that wonderful wife that God gave you from heaven. See, look up here. I wasn't going to preach long today, but I might just preach for a few minutes here. See, I believe in my heart that God has got a woman for every man. I believe if you're supposed to be married, I believe God. Bobby, I believe you and Jamie were ordained to be married. I believe that. Taylor, I believe you and Billy were. God meant for you guys to be together. Years ago, when I first met Rosie, God knew that Rosie was going to be my wife. He said, I need someone to put up with him. And she's the only one I think would do it without killing him. That's probably like in most cases, you guys. Jamie's saying, you ain't kidding, preacher. And God, when I married Rosie, it was no accident. God ordained me to marry Rosie. I believe Rosie was born to be my wife. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe Rosie was born to be my wife. I would have never got as far as I did for Christ without Rosie. I would have never even came to Christ without Rosie. They're the one who took me to hear the Word of God. Don't underestimate your wife. If you start thinking about your wife, how chosen she was from God. Bobby, you and I, we're hillbillies. We're lucky to be blessed with good wives. Amen? Don't overlook your wife. She's the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. Boy, it's quiet in here. But she really is. Eve was the greatest thing that ever happened for Adam. And when you got married, that wife that you married, she was the greatest thing for your life. She really was. Therefore, 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You young people in here, you teenagers and you that just got married, you get in a fight, don't run home to mom and dad. If you get in a fight, work it out. You guys, 90% chance you're the wrong one. Go out and find the prettiest bouquet of flowers you can find. Say, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I just want to tell you, I love you and thank God for you. Boys, us men, we always got to be, well, I'm the big cheese. You're an idiot. You're the lucky one that God gave a wonderful wife for. Who Who takes care of our children? Our wives. Who cleans up all the dirt? Our wives. Who does all the who changed most of those poopy diapers? Not us. Well, I was out working. Yeah. I would look up here right now. I would never trade my job for a lady's job. I couldn't keep up with the ladies. I'm serious. And if you don't believe me, you're an idiot. You say, boy, that old guy he's still ornery. Even in his old age, he's still letting it fly. I'm just trying to help you. You know what can help you a whole lot? When you guys get in a bad argument, just remember, she's a gift from God. And you don't throw gifts away. He's up there telling me how blessed they are and how happy he is. And thanking God. And I'm glad for that. And keep it that way. Keep it that way. And you girls, by the way, fellas, it wouldn't hurt you to tell your wife sometime, boy, you're really pretty. Boy, that's a nice dress. Honey, thank you for that meal was delicious. Wouldn't hurt to compliment her once in a while. Hello? Oh, preacher, that's her job. No, yeah, that might be her job, but your job is to make sure she knows you love her and appreciate her. You know what people hate to do? They don't mind doing stuff, but they hate to feel not appreciated. Nobody wants to be used as an old rag. Hello? Am I boring you today? I hope I am. Because I'm going to keep boring you till you get it. We need some men, godly men, that will love and honor and appreciate their wives and hold them up high because they're a blessing from God. I'm so glad God gave Eve to Adam. Because now I have Rosie from God. Hello? And that's how you ought to look at your wife. Billy, you and Dorothy, you're going to let them have it today at home. Dorothy says, hey, Billy, you hear what the preacher's saying? I'm from God. No, I'm just having fun with you right now. And that means you ought to take me out to Cracker Barrel, Billy. We ought to celebrate Father's Day because I'm from God. That's not a bad idea. But you are, Dorothy, you are from God. And God's used you to bless us, preachers and good people. And thank you for being a special mom, special wife to Billy. Your children, children's children, are in the ministry serving God now. Special, isn't it? Don't overlook your mama. Don't overlook your daddy. They had a big part in your life. Notice, he said to cleave on the cleave, they shall be one flesh. That's the first marriage. There's your first marriage right there, Adam and Eve. Boy, I'm glad it wasn't Adam and Steve. By the way, God doesn't want Adam and Steve. God's against homosexuality. He says it's an abomination. And by the way, if it would have been Adam and Steve, none of us would be here. Think about that for a while. What a bunch of idiots. You think the world hasn't run away from God? Then these queer couples want to adopt babies. I don't want them to adopt babies. They're not right parents for them. Need a husband and a wife. By the way, if everybody did that, eventually you'd run out of babies because no babies would be born. It's so evil. It's against nature. Even the animals know better than that. You say, this is Father's Day. Isn't it great? Isn't this good stuff? It's not on my paper, but I'm having a great time, Bobby. Let me read to what I did. Here's some of the stuff I did write for you. Listen, Adam and Eve were in a perfect place. They were in perfect surroundings, perfect environment. The climate was perfect. Kind of like Hawaii. Not, Hawaii's not as good as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, though. They had a perfect home. They had a perfect marriage. They knew joy in their home, but no sorrow. Can you imagine living in a house with all joy and no sorrow? They had perfect harmony in their home and no discord. Wow! They had perfect contentment, no bitterness and fighting. Wow! Woo! Every day they enjoyed each other in the splendor of God in God Garden of Eden. Their home, their lives, what they did in Eden were all blessed by God. Wow. Think about this. Listen to me. They never had a bad word from one another. I'm talking about in the innocence in the Garden of Eden. They never had a fight or an argument. Some of you guys can't go one day without a fight or an argument. Adam, don't say amen to that. Say, oh me. Adam never slammed the door on Eve. Eve never threw the lamp at him in anger. Or whatever she could find. Get this, most of all, they never had to pay taxes. The Garden of Eden was tax-free. Don't tell me it's not going to be fun in heaven. They had a perfect marriage, a perfect home, and they had a perfect paradise to live in. They lived in a perfect age of what we call the age of innocency. They were innocent. Now, that all changed after they sinned. But they, you know what? I know we can't live in that perfect age, but we can try to go for it while we're here. We don't, folks, God knows what it is to have a good home. And the closer we get to God, the better home we'll have. The farther we get away from God, the worse our home is. One day, Satan came and brought temptation. Sin entered into their lives and marriage. And the truth, that what should be rendered is, number one, and this is, I'm closing, Satan is out to destroy our homes and marriage. Sin can destroy a home and a marriage. Don't take sin lightly. Those sins that you overlook, that you think they're all right to get away with, they're destroying your home. They're destroying your fellowship with God. They're destroying that walk with God. Men, don't let Satan get in your home. Nothing takes the place of home sweet home. I'm almost done at the bottom. I've been blessed in my life. I've got to travel. I've been to Naples, Florida 5 or 6 times. Whew, exciting. I've been to church years ago. They sent me to Hawaii. That was exciting. Do you know what? Look, I want to get somewhere. I said, home sweet home. Did you know, Brother Jordan, even though I had fun when I went down to Naples on vacation and in Hawaii, after a while, it wore. Even on vacation. And Brother Nowak, we came home, and I got in my chair and said, oh, man, I'm just glad to be home. There's no greater place to be is at your home. That's why we call it home sweet home. And I'm all done. We're getting near the end here. Your walk with God, men, your closeness and fellowship with God will determine how sweet your home is. When you don't walk with God, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't seek God's face, your home's not too sweet. But I'm going to tell you, as a matter of fact, it's bitter. You're going to have some bitterness in there, problems. But the closer you get to God, the sweeter your home's going to be. If I could do one thing in Father's Day to you, I would challenge you to love that bride that God gave you and to draw close to God and make your home a sweet place to live, not a bitter place. And your walk with God, fellas, determines how sweet or bitter that home is. Men, don't let Satan get in your home. cling to God, cling to His holy word. Men, lead the way for God in your home. Be that man of God that God's looking for. Be that spiritual leader for your family. And be a Joshua. Stand for God. Stand in that gap. There's a gap today, and your family needs it. Your children need it. Your wife needs it. They're looking for a spiritual leader from God. They need you. Be that man that God wants you to be, that they need you to be from God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray, Father, you'll bless these men today. Challenge them. Challenge them to get in your Bible and to read it. Challenge them to love their wives. Challenge them to appreciate what you've given to them. Challenge them to bring up their child in the ways of God. Challenge them to walk with you that they can be seen, that people see the walk of God in their life, that especially their wife and their children. May they see God working in their lives. Help men to have some standards. Help men to have some conviction, godly conviction. Help these men to have some godly separation. Lord, don't let Satan come in their home way of evil pornography and books and bad shows and evil things on the internet. Lord, help these men. Oh God, help these men to be men of God for you and for themselves and for their family, for their wife. Please. Raise us up some men in 2014. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, raise us men up, Christian men, separated men for Jesus in 2014. I wonder with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. When you go home today, fellas, tell your wife you love her. Tell your children you love them. Hug them. Let them know you appreciate them. Let God work in your life. I wonder how many men would say, no one's looking, and I'm not going to come to you. How many men would say, preacher, today God spoke to my heart. I'm not the man. I'm not the father. I'm not the husband that I should be. But I want to be that for God. Pray for me. Who would say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. How many could say, I know for sure I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? Men and women both. I know for a fact I'm saved, and if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. May put them down. Is there anyone today, before we have the invitation, would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die without Christ. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Anyone like that? I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. I'd like to be saved. Anyone like that at all? I think we ought to start building our families today. I think men ought to step up and step out for God and say, God, make me the Christian man I'm supposed to be for your honor and for your glory. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to want what you want for our lives. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What verse are you on, John? 388.